Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
In the room with me, and then they're not. Tamaki, songwriter and producer, Matty joins me on the program now to chat about his musical project, Living Perfection, and debut EP, five tracks that blend Italo disco with more modern genres such as Vaporwave and Witch House. The perfect dance floor release. I'm excited to corridor with Matty about it. How are you this morena?
Kia ora, how's it going? I'll take singer-songwriter. That's nice.
You never know, you know. Some people, they're like, oh, I don't want to be a singer-songwriter.
That's like way too professional for me, I think. I'll take it. You sound like I'm like a Radner or something, which is sick.
Wow, I'm glad that my faux pas was your little crown you got to wear for this one. Just jumping straight into it, you have such a kind of rich musical journey. You've been in these post-punk outfits, Cool Cult and Trust Punks, and releasing albums on international indie labels such as Wolfcat and Spunk. In recent years, you've shifted towards this electronic production. What kind of like solace or new space have you found in electronic compared to alternative?
I think it's just like, obviously the vibe is quite different, and this EP is like super playful and fun and I want to get people dancing and just have a good time. Like my earlier, music career is like very serious, and you try to be as like cool as possible in your early 20s, and you're like, hell yeah, like stare at the floor, like shoegaze, the classic like, semicircle around at a gig where no one encroaches towards you and stuff like that. So this is just a whole different vibe, and I think as I get older, I just want to have fun and dance around and like vibe with the crowd more than I ever have before. So it's really nice.
Yeah, I can imagine it's a huge part of it. What you're saying about the semicircle is so, so true.
It's funny because I went to I don't go to that many shows anymore, but I went to one and it still exists. The semicircle is brought down from generation to generation, you know?
Yeah. I went to a house show the other day, which was probably like, I don't know, max like 15 people in a small room. And even then, the band still had to be like, guys can come forward. We're in a very small room together. We don't need this meter of space.
I think, it's like, I don't know what it is. I also do it, you know?
Just,
it's ingrained in us to like respect the band so much, or just have no confidence to go forward.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Where did your love of Italo disco and kind of Euro house come from?
Kind of like it's always been in the background pretty much. Italo disco is like massive with a couple of my friends. Mm-hmm. Namely, I learned about it from Amelia, who now lives in Melbourne. And then my mutual friend who lives in Dunedin now, Michael Grelger, who their vibe was always so cool, and I always wanted to be like them pretty much. And we talked about kind of 70s and 80s music a lot, and Italo disco just kind of came out of that. And then like it's so cheesy and fun, every time I hear it, it just puts a big smile on my face. And now I have to work like a 9-hour shift on a job, and then I like all I want to do is like come home and listen to like a couple of synth lines and I go crooning 60-year-old man holding a cigarette and a red wine, you know. It's very fun, and I think that's what's drawn to me when I have gotten older.
Yeah. The title of the EP translates to, I hope it translates to this, otherwise I'm shooting myself in the foot here. This is for you, right?
Yeah.
With music like this, that's kind of like, it's personal in one instance, but as you're saying, it's very fun and is designed to be shared and experienced within a crowd of people. Do you kind of see this EP as like, oh, this is a gift to people, this is something I'm giving to people to experience joy with?
Honestly, the complete opposite of that, which is funny. It's like, I have put not much effort into like thinking what people would like and what people, what I want.
Mm.
So the name is like kind of tongue in cheek, as people would say. It's really for me to put this music out, because to be honest, I had no idea if people would even like it. So it's like, it's which they have, which is great, but it's really like I had so much fun making it and worked quite hard learning how to do all of the instruments, or non-instruments, all the computer work and stuff like that, because I've always just played like standard guitar or bass or drums or anything like that. So learning a whole new thing is really, for me, was like super exciting. So it's more for me than anything, but I think like this is for you. It's like, check out this new thing that I did.
Yeah.
It's pretty crack up and different to anything that anyone would ever think that I would ever do. So
that's always the best surprise.
I hope so. I hope people aren't like, what the fuck is this?
you're kind of saying you were sort of new to that electronic production. Was it kind of like paint, like a painting where you were adding layers upon layers, and then you're kind of standing back and going, oh yeah, I'll add that, I'll take away that?
Well, yeah, because I had no idea like what to expect. So kind of like I'm still going on like the Ableton Light vibe where you can only have 16 tracks. That really limits you. If anyone from Ableton wants to give me like a discount or something, I would love to get a...
Wink, get wink, more nudge, tracks. Nudge.
Yeah. But it's been cool to see how much more effort you have to do to make it sound good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, a band has like traditionally like four, I mean, I was in a band with three guitarists, which was insane, but like four key instruments, and this, like now I'm adding like ambience and four different synth lines and stuff like that. And you're like, oh shit, like it's limitless to how much you can put in. But that also is difficult because you're like, this just sounds like nothing. So it's been like a learning curve.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, did you find in that process you were sometimes like, oh, there's too much here, I need to start taking things away?
All the time. Like every single, like, I don't know how to mix anything. So I'm like, I'm always like, what is going on? So it's been great. Like I got my friend Martin Phillips, who is in the band Repairs and was in God Bows to Math, to like have a look over and master it and kind of do all like the technical stuff that I have no idea how to do. So that was really fun to get. And I've like worked with him before in different avenues. So I was like, I don't know if he can do this, but he definitely can. So it was cool to like use another set of ears to make sure that I know what I'm doing.
Totally. But yes,
all the time I add 16 different synths at the same time, or keyboards, or like shimmers or shines like that, that like I think are hilarious, but I'm like, I don't know if that's good enough for this.
No, that's quite translating.
Yeah. I'm still like, I'm learning so much all the time, like I don't know. I'm still like complete amateur at electronic music, so it's cool to be like, oh, people do like this kind of stuff.
Totally. Your press mentions that you you've been shining your best loafers to celebrate this EP's release. Would you say that loafers are the best dance floor footwear?
It's contentious, right? Because I like the slide and slip and slide. Like I'm like a real, like I want to do like a shimmy across the dance floor. But also like a slide.
Yeah.
But I also did recently, when I was picking up my daughter from daycare, slip while I was wearing loafers and broke my ankle.
Oh my God.
So I'm like just, yeah, it was, she's fine. I should say that, but I was not. It was kind of like a hero moment, you know, when I saved my daughter from dying. No big deal. But I've been out of the loafers for like 6 months, but I'm playing on the 25th of July, so they'll be back out for that special occasion.
How many pairs of loafers are you boasting?
I've got three, but I have like one main
one mainstay. Yeah.
they're right here. Here we go. This is great for radio.
Yeah,
like, look at that. There's nothing there.
No, it's there all, isn't. For the listening experience, which is everyone, I'm looking at a shoe that has zero grip. I've been having a lot of issues with that in Dunedin, that I also have a bunch of loafers and loafer-esque shoes. And they all have zero grip to them, and I can't walk on pavements in Dunedin because there's too much ice on them.
Take this as a concern. Like, I wore them every day doing, like, not, like, just normal things, and now I have to wear, like, dad Asics everywhere because my ankles are messed up. So, PSA, everyone listening on the radio, don't always wear loafers.
This is a kind of another, I guess, silly-esque question.
Great.
You described the vocal delivery as akin to having a conversation in the club, which I love that description. What's the weirdest conversation you've ever had in a club, keeping in mind the Broadcasting Standards Act when answering this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's never going to go. Like, the weirdest... Man, I don't even know the answer to that question. But I used to play... I mean, Aucklanders will know this. Maybe people who live in Dunedin... we'll know the bar Cassette 9, which is a stalwart in Auckland of in 2011, 2010, it was like the trendy, cool bar to go to.
Mm.
They serve cocktail, like watered down cocktails out of teapots. And I'm pretty sure they still do it. The vibe has changed heaps.
Yeah.
And it's now like solely a tourist bar for like, seems like Spanish, or right. I don't want to assume, but like, so I went there recently. I can't even remember why. I was watching someone, and I got in a very close conversation with someone there that I couldn't understand at all. And we were like, it was a great vibe, but I had no idea what they were saying. So I just had to do the classic, like, yeah, cool. I agree.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get out of the conversation. So I was just there for like 15 minutes talking to this guy who thought that I understood what he was picking up, but I was not. I had no idea what was going on.
Wow.
I get myself in those situations a lot because I'm years of playing music. I can't hear very well anyway. So,
yeah.
But like adding the top layer on, it's pretty exciting going into these bars.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I've got lots of those stories, but... as a deaf person going into the club at night. So, again, another PSA, wear earplugs at gigs and don't think you're too cool for it.
Yeah, that's so true. The amount of people in Dunedin, and I just want to slap them around the face. They're like...
Oh, and there's some, like, amazing bands in Dunedin currently as well. Like, I can't... You gotta go out and listen to them play, but wear earplugs.
Yeah, I was...
Where did I see at Cambaloham that was really good from Dunedin? Their name is the main person from the castle.
Larnac?
Like pretty. No, I can't.
Dale Kerrigan. Yeah.
Yeah, Dale Kerrigan. Yeah, that band is like.
Yeah, they're amazing.
The best band in New Zealand. At
yeah,
the
they're
moment.
They're. Like, yeah, seriously good.
I don't know how I even got on that tangent, but.
But you should wear earplugs if you're seeing Dale Kerrigan. That's loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that would. Yeah, that's it. Like that band is incredible.
I was born with
Dunedin.
You do.
Yeah.
I was like never got a shot, and I'm like, can never hear anybody at a gig ever, and I have to explain. I'm like, I know that I look young, but like I have the hearing of like an 80-year-old. So you need to speak up.
Okay. Let's not talk in the club then, because I will just be sitting there.
No talking in the club, just dancing.
I feel like there's something nice about like that's like a different kind of silent disco where. You're just listening to the music, not talking to anybody.
Mm.
That kind of seems like my favorite kind of vibe.
Yeah.
it's just standing in the club, not talking, just listening. Maybe that's a good vibe.
Your song should come out of that.
Yeah.
And my final question we'll end up on is you kind of found your footing in the 2010s Auckland all ages scene. Today, bring it back to Dunedin again. We always find a way. We have... kind of right. absolutely buzzing all ages scene. What was that experience like for you growing up in it and that atmosphere, and how do you think it kind of shaped you as a musician?
It's a good question because I've been thinking about it heaps recently, because I'm always like, in Auckland, I don't know if that scene still exists. And it was so formative for me. I mean, I'm sure it does in some way, but there were just so many awesome venues just popping up and then lasting maybe like 3 months and then getting shut down. But there was always another one that was popping up at the exact time that you needed it. So, I mean, in Auckland at that point was just like incredible musicians making music. Like, and I saw like Reuben Winter from Band, like I saw Bandicoot play a couple of their first shows and then like go from that to like huge different things. Like my bandmates were in an awesome band that I loved at the time. And you just play with the same people every week, but they weren't playing in the same band. They were playing in different ones that they've made for, again, like a month, and then be like, oh, we're breaking up.
Like, classic.
Not any bad blood, just like, I want to try something else, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. The goal, which I find buzzy now, the goal was never to like make it. It was just to make really good shit. And so in the meantime. And I feel like that's changed. I don't know. Maybe with like social media, that's the only way to like perceive everything, because everyone seems real like polished, and might be different in Dunedin, but that's how it seems to me in Auckland.
Yeah, I think at Dunedin, it's just, I don't know, there's something about this place that kind of breeds, especially with the young all ages bands, like a sense of not actually caring about having a polished appearance. Like, I think all young people are kind of a little bit caught up in what they look like in terms of like their image of something because of social media, but they're a lot more like, don't care if it's rough around the edges, and that's kind of what they want to get at instead of looking like a fully formed commercial product or anything like that.
Totally. Well, it's interesting as well, because when I was like 16, 17, there were no smartphones or like ways to easily like video anything, so there's nothing, there's hardly anything that exists from that time point, which is a shame but also quite cool at the same time, because it's this mysterious like time in my life where you're like, I remember all of these things. There's like really nice photos, because the only people taking photos were people with massive cameras. Like, smartphones existed, I think, but I didn't have like an iPhone, so I was just rocking a brick, and like all my friends didn't have smartphones, so everyone was kind of really into watching what they were doing, and it was just like a great time to stay out till 2 a.m. with your mate, not even like getting wasted really either. Like, sure, there was like a couple beers or you'd smoke a joint or whatever, but the goal wasn't to like get wasted. It was just to have the meantime,
and
watch some good music. So
maybe that's what it should be like in the clubs now too, when you're listening to the disco music, no phones, just vibes.
No phone. Maybe that's the next album. No phones, just vibes.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the program. It's been a lovely little chat.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, good. The EP, which, sorry if I butcher this again, Ovu Jazeb Tebi.
Pretty good.
I'm going to take that. It is out across streaming and available to purchase via Bandcamp. You're playing in Tamaki on the 25th to celebrate the release. Can we hopefully expect that one day the disco will come down to Dunedin?
Yeah, I'm planning a North Island little trip. And then if anyone's listening and wants to put a gig on, let me know and I'll definitely come down and play. I'm not fussy. I'll do whatever.
Amazing.
So yeah, keen as.
Sweet as. Thank you very much for joining me. Ka kite.
See ya.
That was Mary of Living Perfection on the newest EP, debut EP. Here is a track off of it, Late to the Disco. You're listening to Te Reo Irirangi Ko Tahi. I'll be back very soon. More music, more good chats.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.